And there's an amazing amount of things to learn from this book. And the more you look into it, the more you realize that actually there is so much more to learn each time you look into it, which is true for all of God's Word. So I'm going to share this story from Jonah and just give you a little bit of background. Jonah is a Jewish prophet. He's from Israel. He's a Hebrew. He worships the Lord, as the text tells us. And also, it's very interesting that he is from a little place called Nazareth in Galilee. Do you know anybody else from that place? That's right. That's where Jesus lived. He was born in Bethlehem and grew up in Nazareth in Galilee. And so Jonah is actually about 3 miles from where Jesus used to live, which is just on a hillside, which is a place called like a wine press. And that's where Jonah was from. And it's interesting that Jesus only referred to one prophet likened unto himself, and that was Jonah. And that's in reference to 3 days and 3 nights in the earth, which is also what happened to Jonah, and the same to Jesus. So it's quite an interesting parallel that Jesus refers to himself, refers to Jonah as the other prophet, and they came from the same place. So fascinating story. So Galilee is a very interesting place. It was a very cosmopolitan place. There were lots of people passing through there, and it was a hive of activity in the north of Israel, and lots going on in that area of Israel. And so the Bible says that the word of the Lord came to Jonah to go and preach. He called him to go and see a certain people and to go to a particular city. And this very often is God's plan, is to take a person to reach a people group. Now, Nineveh was about 700 to 800 miles away. It was in the land of Assyria. It was during the Assyrian kingdom. And Nineveh was one of their greatest cities. It was well populated. And these people were actually really cruel people. And really a very, very vicious and violent people. And God was sending Jonah to the Ninevites to share the word of God with them and basically to tell them, if you don't get your act together, guys, you're going to be out of here. Because when God puts his eyes on you and decides that he's going to deal with you, then that is pretty serious stuff. So God had a message for the Ninevites. Now, it's interesting that God was sending an Israelite to go to Iraq. That's where Syria was, where it is today, is Iraq. And Mosul, which is one of the biggest cities in Iraq today, is pretty much where Nineveh was. So it's still on the map today, and it's quite an amazing place, quite a massive place. It's recently experienced a tremendous, terrible times through ISIS, and so the city still exists, and certainly Mosul is in that territory. And so we're just going to look at the life of Jonah and how he was impacted by God. And so first and foremost, we see his response to wanting to go and to preach to the Ninevites. Well, it's a known fact that the Ninevites and the Assyrians were really hated by the Jews. Because the Ninevites were a cruel people, and the Assyrians were a very powerful empire, and they did great atrocities. They were terrible terrorists, actually. They were going around killing people, beheading people. Terrible things would happen, and some of the history of the Assyrians are one of the most cruel people, they were a wicked people. So there is no doubt that Jonah did not want to go and give them a message. Maybe he was afraid he was going to be beheaded. Maybe he was afraid that something terrible would happen to him. They used to skin people alive. They used to cut off their limbs, cut off their extremities. They were a very violent and wicked people. They're probably thinking, no way, God, I don't want to go there. I'm out of here. So he decided, I'm going to go to Spain for a weekend. Actually, probably a couple of months, which would be quite idyllic. And he got on the ship, and he's headed to Tarshish, which today is Spain. So he's pretty much going for a nice holiday in the sun, catch a few bennies, you know, catch a little bit of sunshine there in Spain, and just have a nice hotel there, nice villa on the seaside, on the seafront, if you know what I mean. So he's thinking, this is great, I'm out of here, I'm going to escape from God, and I'm going to get down the road, and I'm going to have a good time. And so he paid his fare, and there he is on the boat. Lo and behold, God goes, Jonah, you're doing the wrong thing. And God just blows on the water, he sends a great wind. He says, Jonah, you're not getting away with this. I need your attention. I need you to do a job for me. And maybe God has called you to do a job for him too. I don't know what it is, but maybe he's calling you to do something, and maybe you're running away from him. But certainly Jonah was out of there, and he got on the ship, and a huge storm came. It was such a powerful storm, made Ocean's 11 seem like, you know, just a puddle. This is a really powerful, powerful storm that God is sending. They thought the storm was going to break up, and you know, it's just really worried that you know, this is going to end in disaster. And actually, it seemed like they were actually going to experience a you know, everybody was going to lose their lives. And so they try to find out where is Jonah. Well, the captain of the ship found out that Jonah was fast asleep down deck. And he wasn't cared, even worried. He was trying to drown his sorrows, trying to get away from it all. He just thought, I'm not interested in this. I'm going to escape from this. And the captain said, what are you doing now? Why have you brought this disaster on us? And Jonah explained the situation. I'm running away from the Lord. He's the maker of heaven and earth. And he's bringing all this storm on us. And so he says to Jonah, well, look, well, what do we need to do? He said, just throw me overboard. They said, we can't do that. We don't want to be responsible for your life. We don't want to kill you. We don't want to destroy your life. And they tried to row back to land. But the storm got worse and worse. And so they just decided, look, they threw the cargo overboard. And they did a lot of things to try to help the situation. Nothing was helping. God was trying to get Jonah's attention. And he said, look, just throw me overboard, it'll become calm. And said, Lord, please forgive us. We don't want to throw this guy overboard. We don't want to be responsible for his life, but Lord, please forgive us. They made sacrifices to the Lord, and they threw him overboard, and lo and behold, great calm. And you know what? That's exactly what happens in our lives when we decide, you know, just get out of the situation, start to go and start reversing the situation, you know, then God stops sending the storm. And that's exactly what happened. And it says that many of those sailors feared the Lord. So God was working even in that bad situation. And the Bible says that the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And it says that before that, he sank to the bottom of the mountain. Some people say that he drowned. And he said, the seaweed was wrapped around my head. You can read chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 2 especially. But the Lord provided a great fish. Whether it was a whale or whether it was a great big fish, the Bible says the Lord provided a fish and scooped him up. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. There are many reports of people who have actually been swallowed by whales. And one of the likely candidates for that is a sperm whale, which is anything up to nearly 70 feet long. And they are huge creatures. And they can dive down to a depth of 3 miles or 3 kilometers. And the Mediterranean is up to 5 kilometers deep in places. And so the sperm whale would have been able to pick up Jonah from the bottom of the mountain. You know, and the roots of the mountain. There he was in the bottom of the sea, probably thinking, you know what, I've totally blown it. I'm going to be out of here. And some people say, and you can read chapter 2 for yourself, some people say that Jonah actually died because he talks about being in Sheol, or being in the place of the dead, or being separated from God eternally. But this isn't the amazing thing, what the Bible says. And this is, I just want to quote to you these verses. It says, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight. Yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit. O Lord my God, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to your temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And so right there inside the fish, you cannot imagine how horrible that would have been. But at some point in the fish, he's praying to the Lord. And he's in total lockdown. You think you're in lockdown now. Jonah was in total lockdown inside the belly of this fish. He's in complete darkness. It is putrefying, horrible smell in there. It's slimy. It's freezing cold. And it's a really horrible condition. And he doesn't know if he's going to get out of this or not. He cries to the Lord. He said, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. Lord, please have mercy on me. You got my attention. I mean, would that get your attention or what? You know, ending up in the belly of a fish. Recently, there's a story going that a Spanish fisherman was washed off his boat and washed out to sea, and they lost track of him for 3 days, and he said he was swallowed by a whale. The only thing that kept him alive was eating raw fish and the light on his watch. He still was able to keep note of the time. Apparently he was in there for 72 days. There's other people who've been recorded of being in fish as well, in whales. Mostly it's a sperm whale because they have a huge mouth and they're used to eating giant squid. And they can eat giant squid, and that's mostly why they dive so deep to hunt those out. Marshall Jenkins from Boston in the United States was swallowed alive by a sperm whale in 1771 and survived. He was immediately vomited out. And there are other stories as well of people who've been inside whales or large fish and survived to tell the tale. So it is quite possible. There are certain creatures in the sea that are quite possible, able to swallow man. But however we want to look at it, God provided the fish. If God wanted to make a new species of fish, he would have done that. And he could have provided just the perfect environment, or certainly the right conditions to survive that. And so Jonah is crying out to God in this storm, in this lockdown situation, where he's in the belly of a well. And he said, God, I'm sorry, and he cries out to God. You know, when we're in a lockdown situation, you can always cry out to God. You can always say to God, if you're there, I need your help. You can always cry out to the Lord and say, God, I need your help in my life. Please come to me and help me in my situation. Maybe it's not as bad as Jonah's situation where he's in a dark, cold, slimy pit. That guy, the Spanish guy, said he survived. But it took him 3 days of washing to get rid of the smell. How horrendous is that? And so the Bible says that Jonah began to praise the Lord, and the fish vomited him onto dry land. Well, I'm sure he spent quite a bit of time washing in the sea, getting himself sorted. And so he learned a terrific lesson, is that don't run away from God, because God can get your attention. He can send a storm, he can send a whale, he can send a great fish to get your attention. And so the Bible says in chapter 3 that the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. He said, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it and tell them that their wickedness has come up before heaven. Tell them that they're going to be destroyed for their wickedness. They're a violent and powerful people, but I've seen their wickedness, and I want you to warn them. If they don't get their acts sorted out, I'm going to destroy their city, and I'm going to level their city. So go and warn them. And so the Bible says that Jonah went on his journey, on that nearly 800 mile journey to Nineveh, to go and warn the people that God is coming to overturn your city. He is coming to destroy the city. Get right with God. And the incredible thing was that the Ninevites believed God. And it says that they repented, that they put on sackcloth and ashes, sat in the ashes, from the greatest to the least. they called a time of fasting. I think it was during that season, the king made an edict to say, nobody is to eat anything, nobody is to drink anything. Urgently call on God. And that's exactly what they did. They called on God, said, Lord, we're sorry for what we've done. We've heard the message of the prophet, and we're repenting of this evil. It's amazing, you know, when God sends somebody to warn an individual, or warn a town, or warn a city, or warn a nation, these words are powerful, and they have effect on people. God's messengers are always men or women who go to preach and to proclaim the word that God gives them. And so Jonah is faithful in delivering the word. He's a reluctant and angry prophet, but he does it anyway. And he goes and he preaches to the Ninevites. And they repent in sackcloth and ashes and fasting. You know, these are ungodly people. These are wicked people. They are saying to God, I'm sorry, all the sinful people of that area, all the violent people, all the murderers repented. All the wicked people in that city repented of their wickedness. They turned away from their idols. They turned away from their wickedness. They turned away from their sinful ways. And this reminds me of what it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. You know, God wants to heal the United Kingdom. He wants to heal our land. He wants to bring mercy and grace. There are many sins in our land. There are many violent things going on. We've had terrible knife crime. We've had terrible crimes in our nations. People, even just recently, there was a terrible attack, I think last weekend, and people have experienced some violence in our own country. And this time to repent and turn away from our wicked ways to receive mercy and grace. And so the Bible tells us that they repented and they turned away from their wickedness. They turned away from their sin. But you know what? Jonah was not happy about this. And he went out to the east side of the city and to overlook the city to see what God would do. He was just expecting God to wipe them out, to send fire from heaven. He was expecting God to send an explosion and do something to destroy these wicked people, because the Jews hated the Assyrians. The Assyrians were coming soon to attack them, and they heard of their violence. They heard of their wickedness. And he was like, God, these are evil people. Just get rid of them. Just wipe them out. You've got the power to do that. And the Bible says that Jonah became angry, and that he was really deeply upset. In fact, he was so angry, the Bible says he wanted to die. And he was really in a bad place, emotionally, mentally. Maybe you've been there too. Maybe you've been so angry, you know, you just wanted to do terrible things. And Jonah is exactly in the situation. He's angry. He's upset at God. He's upset that the people have repented. And he's out there in the edge of the city, sitting. It says, the Bible says, he made himself a shelter. And then the Lord provided a plant, or a vine. Actually, it is a castor oil plant, which many people believe. And it allowed it to grow up overnight. And Jonah was happy about the plant. And the plant provided protection for him against the sun, and he had some shade, and he was pleased about the plant. But then the Bible says that the Lord provided a worm, and the worm ate the roots of the plant, and the plant died. And now he became angry again. He said, you know, this guy's got a problem with anger. And he says, you know, God says to him, are you angry? Yes, God, I'm angry enough to die. I mean, that is a bad place to be, isn't it? To be so angry, you just don't care if you live or die. He just wants out of here. He said, I'm so angry about the plant. And God says to him, you know, you shouldn't be so angry about this plant. He said, Nineveh is full of 120,000 people who don't know their left hand from their right hand. So these are quite possibly children. And then the Bible says, and also many cattle as well. God was saying, there are thousands and thousands of people in there that could get wiped out, and all you're interested in is your little plant. How true is that for our lives? We get so interested in the silly little things. My little job, my little life. you know, this little problem that I have in my life, or this little financial situation, or, you know, circumstances are not working out, or even in our personality, things that are not right. We get caught up in the little small, trivial things. We get worried and we get upset. Does that remind you of somebody else in the Bible? The two sisters, Martha and Mary. And there is Martha in the kitchen. And Jesus has come to visit, and Jesus is sitting there talking to Mary, and Martha's flying around the kitchen, and she's trying to get food ready for Jesus, and she's preparing, and she wants to make everything good, and she's flustered and hot and stressed, and you know, we've all been there, haven't we? Trying to get things ready for guests and visitors and people and meet the needs of people. And here's Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, and she's just listening to Jesus. And you know, Mary comes in, Martha comes in, she's pretty angry. She says, "Jesus, don't you care that my sister just sitting at your feet listening to you, and I'm so busy in the kitchen?" And Jesus said to her, "You are worried and upset about many things, many little trivial things. Did it really matter if Jesus had a 5-course meal, or we just brought out some bread and cheese and said, let's have a feast together?" The main thing, he said, is Mary has chosen the right thing. And what was that right thing? It was to sit at the feet of Jesus, just listening to Jesus. And she loved Jesus. And she was just listening to him, asking him questions, listening to the stories. "Yeah, I raised a little girl from the dead. Just opened the eyes of the blind. You know, God showed me to do this. I went to the woman in Samaria. You know, she'd had 5 husbands, and God showed me that, you know, she needed salvation." And all these amazing things that Jesus did. And there's Mary just listening to Jesus. The incredible stories that Jesus is telling. All the miracles of God and how God has been. And she's chosen the right thing. And it's the same with Jonah. He's worried about the vine. He's like, "Where's my vine? It's just a plant. It's just like a £1.50 plant from B&Q. It's just a little thing." We get worried about the little trivial things of life. He says, "Yeah, I'm so angry about this. It's just a silly little thing. I'm so angry, I want to die." God says, "You've no right to die. You shouldn't be worried about this. Here is a city with hundreds and thousands of people that I care about." And isn't it amazing to know that God cares about the wicked? In fact, the Bible says Jesus was a friend of especially wicked people. And most of us would probably shy away from that, especially church leaders. And especially church members, "Oh, we don't want to associate with those people because they're pretty wicked. You know, they belong to a gang and they do terrible things. They're involved in trafficking and, you know, they're some wicked people." Jesus was a friend of especially wicked people. Not to be influenced by them, but to influence them and to bring them into his kingdom. And so the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him might not perish but have everlasting life." God loves the world. God loves even the wicked people, even those who do sinful things. He wants to pour out his grace upon them. He wants to shower them with his love. And Jonah said to God, "Well, I knew that you were compassionate. I knew that you were such a gracious and loving God. This is exactly why I didn't want to go, because you love people." But that still doesn't mean that God didn't want to send him to warn them. And the fact is, they repented of their sins. They turned away from their sins and they got right with God, because the Bible says they believed God. And that everything was fine in the city. God did not destroy that city at that particular time. And later on, though, we find out that the prophet Nahum was sent to the city again. And he prophesied against it, and great destruction came upon them because they had repented the first time, but this time they were becoming more and more wicked, and that was many years later. But right at this point in time, God has been merciful to them. God always gives people a chance. He always gives them an opportunity to get right. He always gives us a chance. He gives us a season. in a time where we can get right with the Lord. Even the Amorites, who were a giant people, and God gave them chance to repent. And it says that until the fulfillment of the Amorites' sin will come to a limit, and then they will be destroyed. Because God doesn't want to wipe people out. He wants to forgive them. But if they do not repent, He has to show His justice and deal with the sin problem. And that's exactly what happened. And Jonah was upset with God because he had been merciful and he'd been kind to the Ninevites. He was kind to these cruel people, these wicked murderers, and he showed his grace. And today God still showers our world with such grace, with such loving kindness, even though we've been wicked, even though we have wandered away from God. He always calls us back. He says, come into my fold. Come into my family. I will adopt you as my sons and daughters. I will welcome you in from all the nations of the world, from every tribe and tongue and people and nations. I will welcome you into my kingdom so that heaven will be full. I will welcome you, and I love you, and I want you to be part of my kingdom. But you have to make a change in your life. And some of you may need to make a change in your life. Maybe you need to turn away from some sin, or maybe you need to turn away from something in your life that is displeasing to the Lord, and say, Lord, please forgive me for that. I'm going to get this thing out of my life, this thing that's displeasing. And just ask Him for His grace, and ask God for His mercy, and He will freely forgive you. And the Bible says the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all sin, and repent of it, and turn away from it, and receive the forgiveness of God. Freely you have received, freely give. God will freely give you salvation. And God wanted to save the Assyrian people. He wanted to show them that He loved them. And this is our God, friends. Yes, even the God of the Old Testament, He is a God of love and He is a God of compassion. So friends, I just want to encourage you today, you know, just to not get caught up in the trivial things. Make sure that you're spending time with the things that are really important. You know, we need to have those things that are priorities in our lives. We need to become like Mary and just sit at the feet of the Lord and listen to what He's saying. What is God saying to you? What is God saying? Are you caught up worried about that little plant in your house? Worried about that little situation at work? Worried about those little things? God doesn't want us to get stressed out about the silly little things of this life, but to focus on the main things and focus on Him, because He is the King of glory and He is coming back soon, and we need to be ready for Him, friends, and be prepared to meet the Lord. Let's get right with God today. Let's invite Him into our lives and let's have His kingdom in our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to lead us in a short prayer this morning. And it's just a prayer that I've written. And if you want to link in with this prayer this morning, then I just want to encourage you to link in with this prayer if this means anything to you. God, sometimes I am so angry. God, sometimes I don't really care about others. But I know that You do. Help me to love my enemies. Help me to forgive those who have hurt me and who hate me. Help me to love like You do. Let me see that it is possible that others, like my enemies, can change, including myself. Thank You, Lord, for Your matchless grace. Thank You for Your loving kindness. And help me to be like You, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I just thank You for joining with us this morning. For this time of teaching, and we're just going to spend some time in prayer and just worshiping the Lord. So if you are able to stay with us for a bit longer and join in the worship and the prayer, we're going to give thanks to the Lord and going to worship Him. I pray that the message will speak to you today and that God will encourage your hearts just to have a look at this amazing ancient story of Jonah, this true story that I believe actually happened. It's usually told to the Sunday school, but is a really great adult teaching as well. Something for us to embrace and to learn. That God is interested in people. Amen. He wants to save people. He wants us to be healed. He wants us to be restored. And sometimes people are not healed because of bitterness. and because of resentment, because what their enemies have done to them, or maybe they've, you know, they're not getting healing because they themselves have to forgive. And this is, of course, the prayer of Jesus. And Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer, which is, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I hope Jonah got right with God in the end. I hope he sorted out his problem and realized, hang on a minute, I've been caught up with trivial things. I'm worried about the plant when there's thousands and thousands of souls that could have been lost for all eternity. You know, God is interested in the big things and in people's lives. And sometimes we need to realize that actually God has freely forgiven us, but maybe we have not forgiven our enemies. Maybe you haven't forgiven your wife, or your husband, or a work colleague, or a parent, or somebody that is near you. And maybe you need to forgive them to receive total forgiveness. So we're going to pray for that now as well, before we worship the Lord. I'm going to pray that the Lord will enable you to forgive your enemies and those who've hurt you. So Father, I just pray, Lord, that if there's anybody listening today, that Lord, they are feeling resentment, they're feeling unforgiveness, they're feeling angry like Jonah was, they're feeling that they have not forgiven others of their sins. They themselves want to receive forgiveness, but they have not freely forgiven others. So Father, help us to forgive those who've hurt us. Help us to forgive and as much as possible to forget too, Lord. Pray you will forgive us, Lord, as we forgive those who've debted against us. And Father, we do choose to forgive all those who've harmed us. Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray, give us the grace to forgive all those who have hurt us. And we pray, Father, you will enable us through your power and through your grace to do this in Jesus' name. Amen.